that little sentence at the bottom of that last psalm. Any of you ever read that on that book? 220? To think that they found that written on a wall of asylum. And after the guy had died that was in the asylum, and so the guy knew something about the love of God, amen? Copyrighted in 1917, that song was, amen. No one's got, anybody got a song? Not open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 35, and also Hebrews chapter 6. I've got a good friend. He's a songwriter. He's been here and sung. I'd like to get him back to sing sometime. His name's Kenny Calloway. I love to listen to Brother Kenny sing. He always does a great job, but he's wrote many of the songs that he sings, he's written. And some of my favorite songs are songs that he's written. One of the songs, that one of my favorite that he's written, is The City of Refuge. And I'd love to have him come and sing that again sometime. How many of you have ever heard Brother Kenny sing The City of Refuge? Boy, he does a tremendous job on that. And I love that one, and he's coming, and several different ones that he's written. The Vessel, I can't think of the name of it. Vessel of Mercy. And some of my favorite songs that he's written. But I'm going to contact Brother Kenny sometime soon, see if he can drop by and sing for us a little bit. And I hope you would get a blessing from being here. Tonight we're going to look at the City of Refuge, and we're going to look at some things on City of Refuge. I got thinking about this morning having a refuge. I got thinking about how dangerous it was to live in such a time. You know, I don't know what God's doing in our country, but I know this. There's a great danger in a change that we might see happen that we will never see return back. And it's just a matter of a few other things happening and falling right in place. And you know, if they start messing with everything in the country, I just wonder what God's doing, if he's weakening this country, if he's preparing for something. But I know this, you better know the refuge. Amen. You better have a refuge, amen? Now, God instructed Moses before they got into the land of Canaan, and he told them that he wanted him to establish and point 6 cities of refuge. Most of you know the story, and most of you read it. 4 different books in the Bible deals with it: Exodus, Deuteronomy here, Joshua, and the book of Numbers. And so we have the Bible speaking of the cities of refuge, and then in Joshua chapter 20, when they get over into Canaan, God reminds Joshua of what he had told told Moses here to establish the 6 cities of refuge. Now, to get into your mind as we read this, what it would do in the east when someone would accidentally kill someone, manslaughter. For instance, one example is swinging an axe and the axe head comes off and kills someone. Didn't mean for that to happen, but it killed someone. Well, in the east, they kind of had an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And when Noah come off the ark in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, God established a government. He said whenever a man took another man's life, by man that life should be taken. And what he did was he established capital punishment in our government. that if you're going to kill someone, premeditate to kill someone, viciously kill someone, then by men, through the government, should your life be taken. There was a time when that was enacted upon, but now we've gotten so, it's not acted upon. Therefore, our streets are full of murder. There's some cities that are murdering people, sometimes 10 and 20 people of a night, and nothing seems to be done. I'd hate to be living in some of those places where you can't even sit on your front porch without people driving by and shooting and killing and all that stuff. And some of you have lived there, and I've lived in some of the places where it's happening. There was a time when I lived in Chicago. I'm sure glad I'm not in Chicago anymore. But the point being is, such dangerous time. But what God did was here, he provided a provision. When someone is a manslayer, someone who accidentally kills someone, God told Moses he wanted him to point six cities. And in Joshua, he names all six of the cities. Three on the east side of the Jordan River and three on the west side of the Jordan River. Now, why did he do that? Well, because when they settled in the land, the 12 tribes, there was 2.5 tribes settled on the east side and did not want to go across the Jordan River. And God permitted them to do that. Reuben and Gad and half of Manasseh's tribe. The others settled on the west side. And so he put three cities on the west side, three cities on the east side. And what happened was, if you accidentally killed someone, you could run into these cities and you would have to appear before the elders. And they would have to judge your situation. And if you were innocent as far as premeditating to kill and murder someone, they would allow you to stay inside the city of refuge. Now, you could leave, but if you left at your own peril. If you left and the next of kin found you, which they call revenger of blood, death, he would kill you. Revenge upon his blood. The next of kin would usually be the avenger of blood. And he would avenge the blood that you had shed. And so if you want to be safe, you stayed inside the city of refuge. Now, if you were found to be a murderer, then they would judge you and they would kill you. Or they would turn you over to they would turn you over to the avenger of blood and he would kill you. And so therefore, if you maliciously killed someone, they would do that. Now you had to stay, you had to leave your home, and you had to stay inside the city of refuge until the high priest died. Once the high priest died, you got to go back. And you were released to go back. So let's read this according to what God gave Moses. And I hope that gives you a little outline of what we're looking at. And beginning in verse number 9 of Numbers 35, keep your finger, if you would, into Hebrews chapter 6. We'll be going back there in a moment. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye become over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares." Now that at unawares means accidentally. "And they shall be unto you cities of refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not, until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And these cities, which ye shall give six cities, shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side of Jordan, three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be the cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for a sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither." Now notice, it not only protected Israel, but it protected any stranger or sojourner in there. If he accidentally killed someone, he could flee to there too. Verse 16, "And if he smite him with an instrument of iron, so that he die, he is a murderer. and the murderer shall surely be put to death. And he goes on and explains this on down in verse 29 on down through 34. We're not going to get into that tonight. And by the way, I saw somewhere where they were, someone pointed out to me, someone arguing about politics, and they were talking about killing innocent blood. And someone made the statement, well, presidents don't kill blood. But listen, the Bible says that if we are partakers of evil deeds, we become partakers when we allow people to do things, then we become partakers of that deed. And therefore, if you sit and you vote for people who kills innocent blood in wombs, you become a partaker of that. When you open up the door for abortions, I mean, how much more innocent of blood can a person get than a baby in a womb? You can't get any more innocent than that. And you think God's going to ignore that? When you get into the Bible, you'll find out that when someone kills someone in the womb, you know what they did? They got put to death. You know why? God considered that alive. And I'm going to tell you something. God's going to hold accountable all these people that not only took lives out of the wombs, but voted to have people to take lives out of wombs. And they're going to have to stand accountable to God. And therefore, I don't want to be on that end, because the Bible says there are some things that are abominations to God. And by the way, when it's God says that there's six things he hates and seventh is abomination, one of them is shedding innocent blood. And I would not want to be a partaker of abomination of shedding innocent blood. And so therefore, getting back on this, and by the way, you can call it women's health, women's rights, you can call it whatever you want to, but it's still a murder of an innocent baby. Any way that you want to put it, it's a murder of innocent baby. And so murderers, God never overlooked murderers. Thou shalt not kill. In verse 18, or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. The avenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred, or hurl at him by laying of weight that he died, or in enmity smite him with his hand that he died, he that smote him shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, and have cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him, that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the cities of his refuge, whether he was fled, and he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whether he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood. But he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So when you see this, you've got to understand a couple things about what God did. What God did was he appointed, and he wanted some cities of grace. It was, first of all, grace in their locations. If you read Joshua chapter 20, they had to be put up on a hill. They had to have signs clearly identifying where you would find the cities of refuge, and they would have to go through and clean the roads off to make the passage as quick as possible if you saw a need of fleeing to the city of refuge. And so they had to be identified. As I said, there was three on the west side, three on the east side. Now, it was grace of these locations in the fact that he put them on the west side. The west side was a place where God's will was for them to be in Canaan. But if you remember reading the whole story, the 2.5 tribes that didn't go over there, they wasn't going to go and fight, but God told them to go fight, and they could go and go back to the east side and live. And that was God's allowed man's compromise, but still they found grace in God's eyes with those. Not only that, but also in the purpose. It was for the Jew, and it's also for the Gentile. Anyone that would kill could find the refuge in the city of refuge. Not only that, but also the provision. It was for protection against this avenger of blood. Now, let's go in Psalms. I know I got your finger in Hebrews, but let's go in Psalms a moment, and let's look at a couple verses, several verses that deals with refuge. I love the idea of refuge. Refuge is a place of safety. But you know what I like about God? He is a refuge from the future. We don't know what the future may hold, but God is our refuge. We just crawl up in God and we're safe. Whatever it may be, we'll be okay. Look, if you would, in Psalms chapter 9. In Psalms chapter 9, notice if you would in verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. You say, preacher, what should we do when times get rough? Run to your refuge. Look, if you would, in chapter 18. Verse number 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my butler, and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Isn't it good to be able to have a place that you can run to? A place in which you can find the refuge of God? Look, if you would, in chapter 32. Chapter 32 in verse number 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Salah. Look, if you would, and I've skipped one in verse 27, chapter 27. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Look, if you would, in chapter 62. In chapter 62, notice if you would in verse number 7. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him, and God is a refuge for us. Salah. Look if you would in chapter 91. Chapter 91, verse number 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for terror of by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. It's good to know in verse number 2, he says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Let's look one more in Psalms 142. Psalms 142. Thus you would in verse number 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. I'm so glad that we have a refuge in the Lord. Now turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 6. Now let me say a couple things while you're turning there. And I've made reference to this portion of Scripture this morning, and it was on my mind today. The city of refuge is a type of Jesus, but it's not a perfect type of Jesus. There are types in the Bible that we find, but sometimes we find that those types are not perfect types. there are some things that are contrast. Number one, we'll find that when we flee to the city of refuge, and by the way, Jesus is our city of refuge. When we flee to the city of refuge, we'll find that when we have fled there, there would be no judgment. We would be received. We are guilty. We are not judged whether we're innocent or guilty. We flee there because we are guilty. And when we flee, we are accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ when we flee by faith in his finished work on Calvary. Not only that, but also when a man fled into the city of refuge, he could go back. And if he went back, he could perish if the avenger of blood found him. I'm glad when we flee into the city of refuge, we have everlasting life. We shall never die. We cannot perish. I'm glad to know that our safety is not a temporal safety as it was in the Old Testament. And of course, those are just pictures and types and shadows. It's sort of the same way in the Old Testament where they had to kill on the Day of Atonement. They had to kill a blood sacrifice every year. But when Jesus came, once and forever, that sacrifice was killed. He is a perfect type. The other ones was a type, but they were not perfect type. They were a picture of what he was to come. And when he fulfilled it, far greater than what bulls or goats and the blood of bulls or goats could never do. His blood did. And so here we find, but there were certain ways in which he was a type. Number one, he was appointed by God. The cities were appointed by God. And therefore, God knew before they ever got into Canaan that they would need the cities of refuge. Before anyone ever accidentally killed someone and they got there, guess what? God done made provisions of where they could flee to and find refuge. Let me let you in on something. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, that the Lamb of God that you was talking about this morning, Brother Eric, was slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, before man ever sinned, before man was ever created, before you ever come along, God already appointed a city of refuge that you could flee to. And therefore, it would only be that city of refuge. Not only that, but the city of refuge was easy access. And God has made it that whosoever will, let him come. You can come into the city of refuge. If you die in your sins and you go to hell, you'll have nobody to blame but yourself. At the city of refuge, put the responsibility upon the manslayer that he was to recognize the fact that he was a manslayer, and he was recognized that his only hope was to get to the city of refuge, and he had to flee to the city of refuge. My friend, God put the responsibility upon you. This idea of Calvinism, where you are foreordained to be saved or lost and not nothing you can do about it, is contrary to Scripture. What the Scripture teaches you is that we are to recognize, and if we recognize the fact that through the Holy Ghost of God awakening our soul, awakening our conscience to our lost condition, therefore we run to the city refuge. If we don't flee there, it's on us. Once God has made us feel guilt, once we have been awakened to the fact that we are guilty. Now, not only that, but it was a city of refuge for all people, Jew and Gentile alike. And guess what? God has made it. I've heard some people say that certain ones don't have souls. That's a lie. Red, yellow, black, or white. Rich, poor. Male or female. Someone put it this way. The ground around Calvary level. That means we all have to come the same way to Calvary. I don't care who you are. I don't care what color you are. Now, God has made exceptions in some things by allowing Jews. He has showed them privilege that he didn't show other nations. And by the way, he has showed America privilege that he has not showed other nations. But the Bible says God is no respecter of persons 38 times in the Bible, dealing with three matters. One is salvation. Whoever wants to be saved, they come and be saved the same way. Red, yellow, black, or white, you got to come through the blood of Jesus. It doesn't matter. Rich or poor, blood of Jesus. A male or female, blood of Jesus. It does not matter. Number two, rewards for your service once you're saved. You will receive rewards in heaven, and there will not be discrimination on your race. There will not be discrimination on anything. To whom much is given, much will be required, and those type of things. But the fact of the matter is, when you go to heaven, God will be an impartial judge, and he will be impartial to dealing out the awards. If you don't deserve it, it's not like we got it down here. Let's everybody play baseball and give a trophy to everybody and make them feel good. That's not the way it'll be in heaven. When you earn it, you'll get it. If you don't earn it, you don't get it. And God won't be a discrimination of those who got it. Amen? And so, in giving rewards, God is no respecter of persons. And number three, God is no respecter of persons about the punishment of hell and the punishment that will come upon those who die in their sin. Now, will there be different degrees in hell? Yes. Will they be beaten with many stripes to whom much has been given? Absolutely. And those that's had privileges, people who die in America and die without Christ, I pity them. I pity them. We have churches on every corner. We have Bibles everywhere you turn. There is no excuse for someone living in America and dying without Christ but the fact that they reject God. But the point is that God has put and he's made available the city of refuge. You say, well, how's he made it available to us? By the foolishness of preaching. We have preached the word of God all over the world. Paul preached it all over the world. We're sending missionaries everywhere. We're preaching the word of God to a lost and dying world. What we're doing is we're telling them about the city of refuge. Not only that, but there is an imminent danger to anyone who does not react once they have been found to be a manslayer. Once you have been awakened to your sinful condition, there is a danger to you delaying. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And the Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. What is the imminent danger? Imminent danger is that you will die in your sin. Now, I used to think, and I used to have the idea that the avenger of blood was Satan. But I've come to look at it differently. The avenger of blood is the wrath of God. You may not have been there the day when Jesus was set beside of Barabbas. You may not have said, let his blood be upon us and the heads of our children. You may not have been there from the foundation of the world before Adam and Eve was ever created and the world was ever made when God and the Father and God the Son decided that the Son would die as a Lamb of God for the sins of the whole world. But I want you to understand something. Now listen to this. This is what the world don't get. We all are guilty of the blood of Jesus. We're all guilty of his death. He died because of you. You are the cause, and I am the cause that the Son of God had to die. And so therefore we are all manslayers. The avenger of blood is God the Father. The Bible says that he that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. You know what is pursuing you? Once you have been awakened to the fact that you are guilty, once you've been awakened to the fact that you are a sinner, once you awaken the fact that Jesus died for your sins, you know what awaits you? What awaits you is the wrath of God. And if you die The Bible says for it is appointed a man once to die, and after this judgment. If you die in your sins, the wrath of God will be there to meet you. And the sad part about it is, in the Old Testament, it was just physical death. In the New Testament, with Jesus Christ, you die guilty of his sins, his blood, because of your sin, and you have not ran to the city of refuge, then what happens is, you don't die physical death, you die physical death and a spiritual death. You die eternal death. You have the second death, which is forever. And by the way, you don't flee to the city of refuge until you have been awakened to the fact that you are guilty of manslaughter. How many of you remember when you got saved? You remember that? Did the Holy Ghost of God come to you and let you know you were guilty? And therefore, you know what made you run down to the city of refuge? And by the way, Jesus is the only city of refuge for us. There is only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And therefore, what made us run to Jesus? What made us run to Jesus was that we were guilty, and we realized we were guilty, and we realized the only hope we had was to run to get refuge underneath his blood. And underneath his blood, we have been secured from the wrath of God. No longer am I under the wrath of God because I am under the blood of the Son. And therefore, I have been saved. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Look, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 6. I'm about to finish, but let's look. Let me tie my shoe before I end up on my face. I end up in Brother Junior's lap. He never will forgive me. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for what? Refuge, lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the what? Soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us, entered even who? Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, let me just say this in passing without getting into a lot of description before I close. I've heard people say, well, Melchizedek was a priest that didn't have a mother or father. That's not true. The only thing that was separate from Melchizedek was he was a God-selected, ordained priest. He didn't have to be through the Levitical priesthood. He didn't have to come through the line of Aaron to be a priest. God appointed him high priest. And therefore, it wasn't because of his mother and father's lineage that made him a priest. It was because of appointment of God. God appointed Jesus our great high priest. It wasn't because he was of the lineage of Aaron, because he was of the lineage of David through Judah. And therefore, he is God appointed outside the line of the original priest, because all the other priests through the Levitical things had to be heritage of Aaron. So Jesus was a self-appointed high priest. He was something separate. Now look here. What happened was, when he ascended up and he took his blood and he put it in the Holy of Holies at the mercy seat of God. He come back down and he spent 40 days with his disciples. Then he ascended up into heaven and he sat down on the right hand of the Father. And he's there for our intercessor, our mediator. He's there for our advocate. He has all kinds of... But the main thing is, he is our high priest. And what he did was, he took the anchor. And he took an anchor up there, and he took it into the Holy of Holies. And he secured that anchor in the Holy of Holies. And what he did was, that anchor was a refuge that anyone that would flee to him for the refuge, their soul was forever secured in the Holy of Holies. You have eternal life. And by the way, Another contrast of the city's refuge from Jesus was this. The high priest would die. Our high priest never dies. He forever lives to make intercession for us. And so therefore what we have is, we have eternal life. Now, let me say this, and stay with me just a minute more. We have, with Jesus being our high priest, we have the promise of eternal life if we run to that refuge. Now, when you go to Hebrews chapter number 10, there's a lot of people, let me show you two verses, two portions of scripture that's always confused. And people try to relate that we can lose our salvation with. Let me show you real quick. Look if you would in Hebrews chapter 6. Before we close, look at this. In Hebrews chapter 6, while we got you there, turn back if you would. And notice in verse number 6 that the writer, which I believe is Paul, but I won't argue with it, notice in verse 1 through 3, he talks about, therefore, leaving the principles of doctrine of Christ, let what? Us. Go on. Now notice where he uses that personal pronoun. Look on if you would in verse number 3. And this will what? We do, if God permit. Now some people take this verse 4 through 6. They won't argue that you can lose your salvation, but notice what happens, he says. He said, for it is impossible for what? Though. He don't say we no more, does he? He don't say us no more, does he? For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world come, if they, not we, not us, shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. In other words, what he's saying is, to have someone to lose their salvation, what happens because Jesus died once and forever for your sin, once you flee into him for receiving refuge, you have eternal life, you are in him, he is in you forever, and you shall never perish, you shall never die, no man is able to pluck you out of his Father's hands, and so therefore, what happens is this, he says, to those who believe that, he says, they put the Son of God, they crucify him for, he would have to be crucified again on the cross of Calvary. But notice verse number 9. He goes back to we again. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and the things accompanying salvation, though we thus speak. In other words, he said, that's not what we believe. That's what they believe. That's where them pushing that. That's not what we got. We got a better salvation than that. When we got saved, we have our souls anchored in the Holy of Holies by Jesus himself. Amen. He is our city of refuge. Look if you would in chapter 10. Again, a portion of scripture that's used to confuse a lot of people. Notice if you would in verse number 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now notice verse 29. I'm not going to spend no time on all this. I don't have time. But notice verse 29. I've taught it before. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath what? Trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Now listen to me. When you reject, when the Holy Spirit of God has awakened you, and you recognize the fact that you are a manslaughterer, you are guilty, you're a sinner, and he points to you, clearly points out to you, and by the way, the Holy Ghost does that. He lifts up Jesus in a way that you know in your heart Jesus is your only hope. He has a way of showing you Jesus, and that's what he does. Through the preaching of the word, it's by the foolish of preaching. Sometimes we do a terrible job of preaching it, but the Holy Ghost of God doesn't. He shows you the clear path to run to Jesus. He draws you to come to Jesus. But it is upon you to decide if you're going to flee. And if you don't flee, my friend, and the wrath of God and death finds you, the wrath of God will be the avenger of blood, and you will suffer eternal punishment in hell. You know why? Because way back yonder, before the foundation of the world, when the Son of God said, send me, Father, I will die for the sins of the world, and I will give my blood for them. And by the way, it's the blood of all of us. We are guilty. Our sins, nailed them to the cross. And look here. When you reject him, you take his blood and you trot it under your feet. And you have no use. And you just die in that condition. And you open your eyes in hell. And you wish with everything within you that you had fled to that refuge that God appointed before man ever existed. Oh, my friend, God has made a way that whosoever will, let him come. But you've got to come. Don't you buy into this, well, God just appointed me to be Savior. You better come. It's up to you to flee to it. And I'm going to tell you, when you flee to this one, you say, well, what if we're guilty of murder? You know the wonderful thing about fleeing this? We're all guilty. And you know the wonderful thing about it? He said, those that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Where sin abounds, his grace much more abounds. And so therefore, what he says is this. He said, listen, you want a city refuge? Flee to me. If you flee to me, you shall never die. I promise you eternal life, and you shall never perish. What a great promise we have in that city of refuge of Jesus Christ. Brother Eric, maybe tonight the Holy Ghost of God has awakened your soul to the fact that you are guilty, and you need to come. Let him have his way tonight. Tonight, I tell you what, by the way, you know this? No man flees. No man flees to the city of refuge unless he feels he's in danger. I've heard people say, well, preacher, hell didn't bother me. Boy, hell bothered me. When God awoke in my soul, I was thinking about hell. If I died and went to, I knew that I'd go to hell because I knew I was guilty. And therefore, when I fled because I was afraid. I was afraid if the wrath of God found me before I found Jesus, it'd be a terrible thing. I praise God for the night that I fled to that city of refuge. Amen. Brother.